listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
On a pretty regular basis, I hear from people asking me why their situation hasn't turned around. Sometimes it's a phone call of desperation saying, you know, I've been working at this for a while and I can't get it to turn around. Sometimes it's an email saying the same thing. Why can't I get this to change? Why can't I get my marriage back on track? I always ask a few questions. One is, how long have you been working at this? And two is, how long has it been a crisis? Because that makes a difference. It's interesting to me that there are some people who are calling me to tell me that there's been no change when it's been hours or maybe just a few days since they began to work on their marriage. Sometimes I'm surprised that people will say, I've been working on this for years, and they can't get it turned around. That's two different, very different categories. And then some people will tell me in answer to question number two, how long has it been going on? Some people claim that it's just now happened. But as they continue to work, they begin to see that the crisis is much longer than that. Some people tell me that the crisis has been their entire relationship. And some people are pretty clear to tell me that it's only been for the last year or 2 years or 6 months. They give me some time frame that marks some clear change. What they're missing is often the beginning points of a crisis were already brewing. You know, sometimes things erupt long after they've been building pressure underneath the ground. If you think about that volcano, you know, the magma's been moving for a while and the changes have been happening under the surface. And maybe there have been some bleed outs of lava. We went a couple of years ago to Hawaii and got to see the volcanoes. And that was one of those scenes. And there was an eruption, as they called it, where the lava was flowing. Not one of the big eruptions like you and I might have made back in grade school when we were doing our science projects. But, you know, it was still an eruption. It was kind of pouring out. Sometimes I think marriages have that kind of crisis where there are problems along the way, but there are these little pour outs and people kind of watch them kind of harden over, right? The lava cools down and becomes hardened rock and they think it's all over. But underneath the surface, it's beginning to continue to move until there's a bigger eruption. So many people will mark the crisis at one point when I would mark it much earlier in the relationship. It still does raise the question, and that's the third question I ask them. Tell me more about what's going on, and we can talk about why it might not be moving forward. And as they tell me, it often falls into one of about five categories. There are some others, but these are the big five categories that I see repeatedly. So I wanted to talk some today about these five categories and see if you can kind of put yourself which category it might be. It could be more than one category, but at least to understand how to categorize that, because then we can talk some about what you do about that. So the first one I want to talk about is one that I say is where you're at a no-go, and that is the abusive relationship. Sometimes marriages aren't being restored because there really is a basic level of abuse going on. Now, here I'm mostly talking about physical abuse, but there can be emotional or verbal abuse, and verbal abuse, I would say, is largely emotional abuse. But whenever there is aggressiveness and abuse in a relationship, that often keeps it from moving forward. And as I say in my material, that is not the place to be moving forward. So if you find yourself trying to save an abusive relationship, please stop. That's a no-go in my belief, because abuse tends to escalate. And there has to be a basic level of self-preservation before anything else can happen. So if you find yourself in an abusive relationship, particularly if you're the abused, but if you're the abuser and can recognize that, recognize this is not the time to try to work on that. This is not the time to try to restore it. Many people find themselves repeatedly trying to save abusive relationships, but that's not the relationship to restore. That's the relationship to decide it's too sick to work towards. Okay, so we set that aside, which leaves us four other categories. The second one is a lack of forgiveness. You might call it a hardened heart if you have a faith background. But a lack of forgiveness is when somebody is unwilling to move forward from a hurt in the past. Let's be very clear that there are lots of things that are going to happen in a relationship. Some of them pretty bad and others feel bad. Forgiveness is a pretty big topic. In fact, it's big enough that I've written a book. We're in the middle of getting that published right now. It's at the publishers. And so for right now, I want to say very clearly that I believe in forgiveness. But many people misunderstand forgiving. They kind of believe that they're somehow letting the other person off the hook. And so they choose not to. They choose to hold on to something. It might be you holding on to it. It might be your spouse holding on to it. But sometimes when things are stuck, it's because somebody has refused to release the past and move forward in any way into the future. They've chosen to refuse to forgive. And when you refuse to forgive, the relationship often gets locked down. It can't move forward because every time you start to move forward, it references that hurt again. And every time you start to try to make progress, it's pulled back to that point of pain. Every time you try to step forward, you find the anchor is dug in deeper into the hurt. And let me also say that a lot of times that hurt is about perception, that one person may have a very different attitude about the damage done. The problem is the person who gets to choose it is the person who has been hurt. They get to decide how badly they're going to interpret that. And sometimes people decide it's bad enough that they refuse to forgive. So the second reason why the marriage might not turn around is because of a lack of forgiveness. The third reason is because of the process of disconnection. The disconnect has landed and frozen in disdain. There is a very predictable path from not even knowing each other to getting to the place of having disdain for each other that passes through the connection phase of a relationship. When you're first getting to know somebody, there's not a lot of connection, but as it begins to grow, you become more and more attracted and connected to that person. And then there comes a point when you have to clarify your roles and your expectations in the relationship and the rules of that relationship. And if you don't, it often crosses over from connection to a beginning point of disconnection. And if that disconnection goes far enough, the disconnection becomes disdain. Not just that you don't feel connected to the other person, but you dislike the other person, that they are troublesome in your mind. That there is, and we begin to look for that root cause. There's something in that other person that is just wrong, messed up. And that's when a relationship really is struggling. And so let me be very clear here. The word frozen is very important. Sometimes people are in disconnection and find themselves at disdain but can work back from it. I'm talking about the places and the times when they're stuck and frozen in disdain. There's no movement away from it. They're locked into that place. The fourth reason that the marriage sometimes hasn't turned around is because there has been no real change. This is much more like that lava field where the lava flows and, you know, somebody kind of is worried about it, but it hardens over and disappears and they think everything's okay. So in this situation, it's because the hurts run pretty deep. The promises have run pretty deep and the hurts not been addressed by the fulfillment of those promises. In other words, somebody said, oh, I get it. We've got a problem. Hey, I'll change. Here's what I'll do to change. They make big promises for changes and maybe even promises they make to each other about how each will change, only to revert back to the baseline of the relationship. They don't make any progress. And if that happens enough times, we begin to think that there's no possibility of change. You become cynical towards the possibility that true change will happen. The fact is that change is something that you have to take on with consistency. And when people don't, they tend to drift back to their normal baseline. Therapy World talks about two levels of change. First level of change is when you just kind of make it look like you've changed. It's kind of like putting on makeup or putting on a mask. You cover it up. That's not true change. True change happens at a deeper level when you become a new person in that. Not just that you're covering it up and looking different, but that you are actually different at the core. Maybe you've got a new understanding or a new perspective. Not that you're trying to fool the other person into staying, but that you've got a true difference of viewing the world. But when there's no real change over time, it chips away at the relationship. The person begins to trust that there's no chance of change rather than trusting the change that they've seen. The other time, the fifth time that things don't turn around is because there's no real effort. Or maybe there's been some effort, but it's stopped. There's no real effort in the relationship, sometimes because the person who says they want to change it doesn't feel any energy about that. It's hard in a disconnected relationship to find that energy point to say, I want to change this. I want us to have a new relationship. I'm going to put my energy into that. And because of that, when people begin to think about how to save their relationship, they just don't ever quite put in the effort necessary in order to really make a change. So how do those categories make a difference in your relationship? Well, let's go through them one by one, and we'll see that there's a kind of common thread through all of it. The first one is abusive, and we just want to set that to the side and say, if it's an abusive, I would continue with my belief of not working on it. If it's not turning around, an abusive relationship probably does not need to be turned around. Now, there are some times when abuse is a one-time event or something has been dealt with and moved beyond, and that's a different category. But if it's not that, if this is repeated abuse, and it's clearly abuse, and it clearly is escalating, there is no reason to continue working on it. Abusive relationships should not move in the other direction. They should be left behind. Now, that leaves us with four categories that we want to kind of talk through. The second, that lack of forgiveness, that hardened heart. It doesn't mean the other person is not capable of it. It just means that the hurt is so deep and the fears are so big that it's hard to leave those behind. Sometimes it's a complete misunderstanding of what it means to forgive, to not even recognize the freedom allowed to somebody because they can forgive. My opinion is that the forgiving process is not the same as reconciliation. Those are two separate processes. Forgiving allows for reconciliation, but you can forgive somebody and still not reconcile the relationship. Forgiveness has to happen, though, in order to get to a reconciliation. So if your spouse has been unable to forgive, remember, that's not a permanent position. There are plenty of things that might change that. I was talking with a couple a while back, and they were going round and around and could never move forward. And then they watched a movie, and somewhere in that movie, something jolted the person. They realized that they needed to move towards forgiveness. That unlocked it for them, because then there was a way to see how to move forward with forgiveness. If you're the one who's working on it, you can't plant the movie or suggest reading a book. But you can make sure that you're doing what you can to make amends for your past hurts, the places that you created hurt in the past. I always believe in the apology letter. In fact, I have a formula that I include with my VIP programming about how to write that apology letter. I suggest it in the Save the Marriage system, but I help people walk through that in the VIP virtual coaching program because it's a very important part, but it does take a little assistance to get through that, at least in the way that I recommend it. Then apology letter, though, is the way you begin the process of creating a platform to build from. You ask specifically for forgiveness, and you demonstrate that you recognize what you should be forgiven for, or what you would like to be forgiven for. That also requires for you to be your better self, to really look and focus on that place that you need to be, because the wrong thing is for somebody to forgive somebody who's going to repeatedly hurt them after the forgiveness. You don't forget, right? And so that still is lurking in there. And the forgiving process is an expectation that there'll be something different. I would be foolish to forgive somebody and only wait around to be re-injured by that person. So part of asking for forgiveness is committing and making the changes necessary to not let that happen again, if at all possible. The third thing disconnection that's frozen into stain requires efforts to slowly reconnect. A lot of the processes I talk about in reconnecting are aimed to make slow movements. The worst you can do when you're at that very worst place is to try too hard, to go too fast. There's a lot of research out there about people who have fallen into cold water. And one of the dangers of someone who's been in cold water or hypothermic is to warm them too quickly. The body goes into shock when it warms too quickly, and so you have to very slowly bring the person up to warmth. It's the same with a relationship. When there's been disconnection, it takes a while to move away from that disconnection. The further disconnected you are, the more carefully you have to rewarm the connection. Otherwise, the relationship kind of goes into shock. The other person goes into shock and starts pushing against any place of connection. So part of the task, if it's about the disconnection that's been frozen in disdain, is to very slowly move towards, and think of it as the uphill, slow uphill climb back towards connection. That first pieces are very difficult. In fact, the steepest part at the bottom is the toughest part because both of you are probably exhausted from the disconnection. And so you've got to climb that hill very deliberately and fairly slowly in order to get it moving forward. But you've got to be willing to do the work. Which brings us to number four, no real change that holds back many people. The task here is to create a plan, to be very clear about the pieces of you that need to change. Let's be very clear. We all have places where we fall short. We all have places that we can improve. The task of changing is tracking that, making sure that you don't just make a promise, but that you create a plan to take you through that promise to the place where you've achieved your being that better person. You're always changing to better. You know, usually when a spouse says, I'll change, it's to a better place, to being a better person. But that requires a plan to get there because habits are tough. Our mental habits will draw us back to our baseline. So you have to have a plan and you have to make the change. Number five, no effort or stopped effort is about getting started or restarting the process. And this is the important part of that. There's a knowledge component. If you don't have the knowledge base of getting started, you can be frozen. That's why we have the resources we have. I created the Save the Marriage system in order for people to have a basic understanding of what needs to happen in order to move forward. For many people, that's all it takes. They need to understand what happened and what they need to do to get started. At that point, everything begins to turn around. The connection begins to grow. The changes happen. Forgiveness comes along. They restore the relationship. But some people need more than that. That's why we've created other programs. That's why I have coaching with my staff and on a limited basis with me. And also we created the virtual coaching program with lots of tools and ongoing training in order to make sure that people know exactly what to do, know how to build their plan, know how to reconnect without creating resistance in the spouse, know how to move forward in the process. All of those resources are there because we know, I understand that the toughest part is getting started and knowing how you're going to move forward. Which brings me to kind of the resolution of this. If you find yourself stuck, this is where you decide what part needs to happen. Do you need to plan? Do you need to understand how to get started? Do you need to understand how to melt disconnection? Do you need help with taking responsibility and apologizing for all that? If you've got that, that's great. If you've got that down and you can look at the category and say, okay, now I understand how to attack this, that's great. But if you're stuck, if you now can even point to the category, but you're still not sure how to get beyond that, that's the time to get outside help. That's the time to step up and say, I need further help with this. That's why I'm here. That's why my team is here, to help with that process. We would love to be a part of that process with you. You have to start that process. If you don't have the Save the Marriage system, that's the basic building block. You can find the Save the Marriage system at savethemarriage.com, savethemarriage.com. If you want to skip going to another website, just go to savethemarriage.com/grab, and you can grab the Save the Marriage system. If you've got the system, You can also get further help. You can go to the coaching page at savethemarriage.com/coaching, savethemarriage.com/coaching, and learn more about the programs we have and decide which one works for you. Whatever you do, decide that things can change, and you're the one who gets to make that change. This is Lee Balkum wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.